It's second down and 10 here for the Rams at the 16-yard line on the left hash. Donnelly with the long green sleeves under the gold jersey sends him in motion with his right hand. Shinbein motions across the formation of the right. The pass underneath, caught at the 5. Touchdown! Kyle Morgat! The first touchdown of the season for the Rams on home turf. And then Morgat, exclamation point backflip. And the Rams have the lead once again.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with writer guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Well, thanks for taking time to check out this podcast. Now more than ever, we need to remember and promote our own. So if you like what you hear, please share with those in the football community. And please, please, please remember these businesses who support local football. Pizza Hut's in Saskatchewan. I just love that pizza and the breadsticks with the dipping sauce. Get me every time. My guilty pleasure food for sure. Also, Double Z Ag Sales. Thanks to Corey and Weyburn for his support for grain marketing, grain hauling, and crop hail insurance. Give Double Z Ag Sales a call at 306-842-2406. Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give the three-time Grey Cup champ a call, 306-502-5355. Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his great work at markgreshner.com. Sasselex Football and Zelko Stefanovic, building the stars of tomorrow today. And Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, as Nathan and Landon have a deal right now. If they come clean your windows and they somehow get dirty within 5 days of that window cleaning, they'll come back and touch up 10 windows free of charge. Just ahead of our first guest, besides the great food at Pizza Hut, if you love pizza and convenience and hate privacy, you're going to love this.
Yeah, hey, is this Anton's Pizza?
No, this is Amazon Pizza. Amazon purchased Anton's last month.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to order a pizza.
Do you want your usual, sir?
My usual? How do you know what I want?
According to our records, the last 5 times you called, you ordered a large pepperoni pizza with thin crust.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that sounds good.
May I suggest you order a salad instead?
No. Not really a veggie guy.
Your cholesterol is not good.
How would you know that?
I cross-reference your phone number with medical records and blood tests from your last checkup.
Okay, that's it. I'm sick of Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, and everything. I'm moving to an island without internet or cell phone service.
Sorry, but that's not possible.
Why?
You need to renew your passport first. It expired 3 months ago. Hello. He hung up.
And our first guest out of the chute here on Growing the Game with Ballsy on a real shitty day is Kyle Borsa, running back for the University of Regina Rams. Borsa, I don't know if a guy could have worse luck than you right now.
Yeah, it's a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, no kidding. So this would be 2 years now that you haven't played football, let alone carry a football. I'd say you're hungry enough to eat one right now. Would I be right in saying that?
Absolutely. I was looking forward to playing this year. I had 18 months off now. I wasn't out of shape for a single month, and man, I'm just so disappointed.
Yeah. So, where were you when it came down, and who told you? Did your coach tell you? How did you find out?
I got a screenshot from good buddy Robbie Lowe's of a Twitter announcement, and then I was at Nias's house, who you know very well.
Yeah. So what have you been told with regard to this? Like, in terms, there's a whole bunch of factors here. Like, are you free to go play somewhere else? Like, could you go if you wanted to go to the States and play? Or are you free to play junior football right now? Is like it open for you right now?
Well, I mean, I haven't played football last year, so that gives me some opportunity to not sit a year if I was to transfer. I could if I wanted to, yeah. I don't really know what options are available. I don't know what the States is doing. There's rumors that junior football is happening. I'm not 100% sure or how confident I am in that, but I mean, it'd be stupid for me not to at least look at my options.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at it. I'm hearing that the Philpott boys are already on the radar for the Langley Rams or whatever out there. Of course, they're standout receivers with the Calgary Dinos. You have to think that if junior football does go forward, and they probably, I'm not saying they don't have liability issues, and I'd have to look into that, but there's not as much red tape as at the university level. I mean, Kyle Borson not playing football for 2 years. You're coming up on your draft year. I would think any type of football would be valuable for you, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, you hit it on the nose right there. Like, obviously, every football player's dream is to play in the CFL, and this was my year to do it. And obviously, the season getting canceled is a huge blow. But yeah, if there's opportunity, I mean, some football is better than no football. So,
Do you feel this hurts your draft chances, or do you think you've got enough out there? People know enough about you. I know I've talked to some CFL guys. They know who you are. But how do you feel about yourself going forward, not having played this long?
Well, it hurts. Like, it's just less tape to be able to give out there. And I mean, even if you look at the year where I did, where I was a standout, I only started 3 Can West games. And I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of what I'm capable of doing. And I thought this year was going to be my year to finally prove to everyone what I'm able to do at this level. And, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just...
How are you dealing with this mentally, Kyle? Because mental health, we talk a lot about mental health now in today's day and age. And I'm not suggesting you're on any type of suicide watch, but it's got to be mentally tough on you, man. You went through a tough thing here where, if people don't know, you tested positive for a performance-enhancing thing, but you didn't know you were taking it an over-the-counter supplement, a very small trace. So you had to sit out last year. You watched the game from the crowd. You couldn't be around your team. Now you finally get back with your team, and you can't play because of a pandemic. And I think, myself, personally, it's more about the financial side than the health side, because there aren't many cases around here. I think it's a dollars and cents thing. So you're a victim of the system again. How are you dealing with it mentally, Kyle?
I don't know. It's early to say. You kind of just take it as it comes. I've never been a type of guy to lay down, though. Like, what are you going to do? You're either going to lay down, or you're going to put your nose down and keep going. And I've always been that type of guy. And I mean, there's nothing else I can really do. I still want to play football. It's still my dream. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that dream is still alive.
Well, I mean, you're looking like a machine. There's no doubt about it. So would you entertain initiating conversations with teams? Are you hoping that they'll contact you, or are you just going to kind of let things chill here for a little bit?
Well, step one is I got to talk to Mark about everything. He's my guy. I love the Rams too. I don't want to, if it was my way, I'd be playing with the Rams this year over any team, in college or anywhere.
Yeah.
So step one is talking to him, and then, I would definitely entertain the thought of going somewhere. Like, it'd be stupid not to.
Yeah, well, granted, you got to look. I know you love Mark McConkey. I think he's a great guy too, and you're a Ram first. Your dad was a he wore the horns too, just like me. He was a teammate of mine. But at the end of the day, it's about Team Borsa, right? That's the team you got to worry about.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, it's the jungle out there. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to survive, you know?
Yeah. Do you know anything about scholarships, Kyle? Like, do you have a chance to continue to get scholarships even though you're not playing? Have they told you that? Is it still in the early process of this?
It's early still, but I mean, from what I heard, they're still going to honor your scholarship. But I'm in a unique situation, obviously, because I was suspended last year and I haven't been on scholarship in a year. So I don't know how it's going to work out for me individually, but I've heard that they're going to be honoring them from last year. So,
yeah, and so many things up in the air. How about the age amnesty? And by that, I mean, there are 5 guys in your roster that if we do come back next year, or when we do come back next year, they'll be too old to play. Now, will the league let them play one more year because this really wasn't their fault? There's so many things up in the air right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of my next thought is, like, my good buddy Lowe's, who you know well, like, I don't, like, my heart hurts for him because I don't know if that's the last time he's going to be wearing the horns or not. Like,
yeah,
I would like to think they're going to give him another year because I think that's very stupid and unfair to have that year taken from you from something that you can't control.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, there's also the other side of people like recruits, and I mean,
it's interesting, yeah. Because you've got rookie guys that have guys that were recruited this year that have won't see the field, and then the coach has got to bring in other guys. So there's going to be two crops of people or two crops of players that haven't even played for the Rams yet going into the next time they play.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be so it's going to be weird, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna. I don't know how they're gonna go about it, but yeah, I don't know.
You as a team leader, because you are a team leader, even though you were away from the team for a year. How can you use your leadership to help guys through this?
I'd probably just have to speak from experience. Like, there's I've obviously been through times where there are things out of my control that took place, and it took things from me that I thought was, in my opinion, was super unfair. And I mean, it's either your character is going to lead you to where you're going to go. It's either you're going to fold the tents or you're going to keep pounding and do what you love. It's pretty simple.
Well, Kyle, I hope I see you on the football field this year. I'm not going to lie to you. I hope somebody's playing this year, whether it's junior, whether you can somehow sneak somewhere else and play, because I really enjoyed watching you play. And like you said, you've only scratched the surface. And I was looking forward to watching a Kyle Borsa with a big-ass chip on his shoulder this year. So I hope, if anything, I honestly hope you're playing for the Thunder this year and running all over the Saskatoon Hilltops.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be worst-case scenario. We'll have to see how it plays out, though.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Well, our next guest here in Growing the Game with Ballsy, I had said Kyle Borsa might be the guy most snake-bitten, but it could be this guy, the head coach of the University of Regina Rams, Mark McConkey, taking the team over. We talked about this last time you were on, Mark. Your mom passed away, and we offered our condolences, so you're just getting over that. This you just get the job first off in the pandemic of all pandemics hits, at least in our lifetime. And now today, no season. Just your initial thoughts, Mark.
It's just very disappointing, to be honest. I know when I found out the news, that was the first thing that I thought about is how disappointed I was. And then right away, I started thinking about our players, especially our fifth-year guys who may age out after this year, depending on what ruling they come down with. And just all of our guys just not having a season. The football off season is already too long, and now we're multiplying that by two. So just very, very disappointed and frustrated. And again, I feel so sorry for our players, and I wish I could give them answers and of questions that they have and parents have. But unfortunately, I'm not getting answers as the head coach from CanWest and U Sport. And I know they're working hard to get us those answers, but they just don't have them concrete yet. So we're just kind of waiting right now.
Coach, I've got Lisa Robertson on the podcast here this week. I'll be talking to her tomorrow as we tape this one with you. There's a lot to be answered, but from the outside looking in, I'm not saying health isn't an issue, because it is, but let's be honest here. As we look at the West, BC has a great job with their cases under control. Calgary, which was on fire, has really calmed down. Edmonton has six cases, I think. Regina, we know how low it is. Manitoba, we know how low it is. To me, it's a real head scratcher. I don't know if it has so much to do with health, but the financial health of what's going on. Is that kind of how you feel? You just don't know where to put your finger on it right now.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know where to put my finger. I'm sure Lisa can give more insight to that answer. But again, I know they had a task force put in place to kind of deem whether what sports are safe to play. And again, I know they had very, very smart people, very academic, and doctors on that. And they just didn't feel at the time, and coming in September, the physical distancing, the health authorities, what their guidelines are. I mean, right now we're allowed 30 people or 15 or whatever it is inside, and we have 100 guys in the locker room, and U of S has got the same number. So I just didn't know. Those numbers just don't add up of having 30 guys in a locker room to 100 within the next 2 months. So I think that had a big part in it. There could be some financial
constraints as well. But I just heard the health and safety part of the answer.
See, for me, I am all for, and these are my words, not Mark McConkie's words. I want to make that very clear. You could just sit there and be quiet for a second. To me, when I look at this, I see us protesting Black Lives Matter, which I am behind 150%. But we can go have three protests at the legislature of 350 or more people, okay? And we can't figure out how to put a football season on or have 100 guys in a locker room or more than 30 people in a facility. I don't buy that. I'm not buying it. I'm not just from Can West. I don't like how we're picking and choosing how guys can get sick or people may or may not be able to get it. And I think that's where the frustration comes in for everybody, not just football players, not just coaches. It's like, from our leaders in government, like, what is it? Is it one thing? Is it another thing? We don't know, and it's very frustrating. But let's get to some things that you could talk about, Mark, okay? First of all, the age rule amnesty. That's a big thing that's going to be a big deal, because I look at a guy like the Calgary Dinos quarterback, Josiah Joseph. He's a guy that's going to age out. You've got five guys on your roster that could age out. If they don't give the kids a break, I would hope they'll give the kids a break.
Yeah, I agree. I know in talking with our athletic director and other head coaches around the league, it's just at the end of the day, youth sports, every decision they make is student-athlete oriented. They're always trying to do the best thing for the student-athletes, give them the best experience. So to me, it's a no-brainer to let those guys, even if they don't lift the age cap, let them appeal individual basis. So out of our five guys, let's say three of them want to come back and play that last year. You know what? A couple guys may graduate and just say, you know what? I'm good. I've got my degree. I'm ready to move on in life, and that's fine. So I think they should leave it up to the kids to have a say in what they want to do in their last year. So, but again, it's a question that's been asked. It's going up the chain. I know it's probably a top priority question for Can West and U Sports to answer. So I know they're going to be working hard over these next few weeks to try to get that ironed out.
Yeah, another one for you is, you talk about the guys in the locker room. You're going to have a double cohort recruiting class here, because you have the class now that you recruited for this year, the grade 12s, and they won't get to play. And then you're going to have to turn your attention to the kids coming up through the ranks who probably won't have any tape from grade 12 unless somehow they deem at the high school level they can play football. And I think that's a long shot. So it's interesting for those kids, interesting for you in scouting, and interesting in that you'll have two classes that haven't set a meaningful step on a football field for your football team.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty much bringing two recruiting classes in one year. It's going to be very interesting. I know, again, we have Can West head coaches meetings every Friday. I know that's been a hot topic in our discussions on what we're going to do. And I know there's roster cap sizes potentially coming into play next year. So how's that going to be impacted? Are they going to lift that for another 2 years, or how they're going to do it? So lots of questions that need to be answered. And I know I have a ton. I know I've had lots of parent texts and calls and emails, players text too, and even just proud alumni that want to have answers and check in on the program. So there's so many questions that need to be answered, and the situation's so new. And like you said, it's a once in a lifetime pandemic. I've never lived through anything like this, so it's definitely interesting. But again, I think we just got to kind of take it one thing at a time and get through it and get our players the answers and do what's best for them, because the whole reason we coach is for the student athletes. It's for their experience and to try to put them in the best spot possible to be successful. So we're going to do everything we can in Can West, in U Sports, to hopefully give them that experience and do the right thing and let them play out their last year.
It is about the students. What about scholarships? I know there was some discussion here where they'll be eligible, but, like, you know, how does it affect your football team scholarships going forward this year?
Yeah, for sure. I know our athletic director, I don't want to quote her on this, yeah, and I'm sure you can ask her more tomorrow. But in our coaches meeting today, they said they have every intent, has every intent to honor scholarships of our students. So that's a huge step. I know lots of parents, that's usually a number one concern for parents, because everything's financial at the end of the day. Money kind of runs the world. So I know that's a big concern. So if that's the case, then that's great. That'd be a huge step and huge, show of leadership from the U of R.
Hey, Mark, I know I talked to some people over at the Alberta, at University of Alberta, and they've scrubbed a lot of their assistant coaches because they've had to for financial purposes. How about you guys within the Rams? I know you guys had your paid position, and there were a couple of, or at least one other floating position that was paid. What's happening there with your football team in that aspect?
Yeah, to my understanding, everything's going to stay status quo. There's still lots of work for myself and Coach Anderson and half of Sheldon Gray to do. Again, now it's just more focused on off-field issues, more academics, training, installation as we get kind of going. And who knows what the fall is going to look. I know we're talking about maybe having a fall jamboree with U of S in Manitoba and maybe the same thing in the spring. We're going to do everything we can to keep our players motivated and, again, keep the jobs. And I guess that's a U of R question, but I know their intention is to keep everyone employed and hired and status quo.
Would you be opposed to letting your player – let me give you an example, okay? I'm just throwing this out there, okay, because I've had him on the podcast. And this is a poster child for what you're going through right now. Kyle Borsa will not have been on the field for 2 years going into his draft year, okay? I feel terrible for that kid. He's got a headache a mile long, and I know you – he mentioned you that he is loyal to you and he loves you. But would you be opposed to letting him go play elsewhere, like, say, junior football decides because of maybe less tape, they decide to go forward and play? Would you be up to letting him go explore an opportunity to play, say, for the Thunder or the Hilltops? I've heard the Philpott boys in Calgary are already looking at Langley. Would you be okay with some of your guys going to play?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. As long as it has no implication on eligibility, scholarship, or anything like that. So as long as everything aligns properly, I have no issue with it. At the end of the day, it's the player's choice. Kyle's situation is very, very unique. And again, like you said, I feel terrible for the kid. Again, I've got a great relationship with him and his dad and everything. And again, I feel so bad for him because he already kind of served his year and now he's got to serve another one, which is just terrible. So at the end of the day, every kid's situation is going to be different. We got to do some work on our part as U Sports coaches and figure out how it works with eligibility and transfer rules and do they become re-recruitable. Again, there's all these questions that need to be answered from the U Sports level. So once we kind of have answers to those, that'll kind of clear up some of those questions towards guys playing junior football.
Okay, two more questions for you, Mark McConkie, and I appreciate on a tough day you giving me a second to talk here. How are you holding up? You're a young guy, young family at home. Is there anybody you lean on with regards to this? Because that's a lot to put on a young guy's shoulders. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been an interesting few months just with, again, everything that's happening. My mom passing away, COVID. It's been pretty hectic. Then you got a newborn one-year-old baby at home, which is probably the most hectic. So, yeah, it's been tough. Just some people that I always kind of run things off of is number one, my dad. Again, he coached football with the Calgary Colts. He's coached high school football for 34 years. He's a bright guy, and again, I'll never tell him that to his face, but he's a guy I really look up to. So I always run things off him, and kind of a new life mentor of mine would be Jeff Stusek. He's been with the Rams since 2017. Great coach, great man, great husband. Again, he's a role model in my life. He's a guy I can always run things off of. He's got great leadership skills, and obviously he's a guy who does it all. He's the RMF president. He's CEO of ISC, a very successful company. He's a great receiver coach, great special teams coordinator. So everything he does, he seems to do with excellence, and that's kind of how I'm trying to align my life as to kind of to be like Big Stoose and try to do everything that I do really well and really excellent. So he's a guy I do run things off of quite a bit.
You're well on your way to doing that, my friend. I've always enjoyed my interactions with you all the way back when we used to coach the Ram camps together. It's kind of weird too, eh? Like all that's another thing when we talk finances. You don't have kids going to school. There's no fees being paid. You can't do those fundraising camps. There's no 50-50. So we'd be naive to think there isn't a huge financial implication when it comes to a decision like this.
Yeah, for sure. I know we've been impacted quite a bit with, like, no spring camp, no spring fundraisers, no alumni events, no golf tournaments, no summer camps. It's been pretty crazy. I know we're we're trying to be cutting edge and trying to see what we can do. I know we're allowed 30 kids, so we're Coach Anderson and I and the university, we're trying to put together some camps where maybe it's just 28 kids and two coaches. So we're starting, I guess at the end of the day, our coaches and kids and our players' health is number one, so we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. That wise, we never want to put anyone in jeopardy. So we're going to kind of fall in line with the health authority and what they say, but we're still trying to fundraise and find ways to make money for the program as well.
Okay, and lastly, Mark, I think the most frustrating thing is you were pretty primed this year to have a decent year. You got a young nucleus. You got Kyle Borsabak, which would be, you know, you'd liken that to a huge free agent signing. I think you would be right in the mix to make things happen in a very competitive Can West. We talked about that last time you were on.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like going in quiet and being the underdog. You know me, I'm a pretty low-key, humble guy. I don't like to say much, and that's kind of what the method our team's kind of followed this last offseason. We know we ended the year really strong, and now we didn't lose a ton of guys, and now we're adding the best running back in Can West, Kyle Borsa. So it was, I was really looking forward to the year. I know we had high expectations internally with our staff and with our players, and again, just super frustrated and disappointed that we won't be able to show what we have and to kind of showcase myself as the new head coach. So, but again, it's all about the players, and I'm going to do everything we can to retain the guys that we have and keep rebuilding and keep growing so we can take down the Dinos next year in playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, lastly, there's a lot of talk in sports world, just in the world in general, in mental health. And, you know, I talked to a guy like Kyle Borsa, who's really got to be feeling, and even if he tries to slough it off, that's got to be that's a weight of the world on that kid's shoulders, trying to catch the eye of the pros because he wants to go pro. How do you, like, is there mental health assistance for these kids if they need it? Because let's be honest, they're still young guys. This is a big blow to them.
Absolutely. That's always a big concern. I know even when Steve and I were working together, he had, 10, 12 guys coming into his office a year and asking for help, and they're going through some difficult times at home, and whether it's academically or parents or siblings. And we've got we set them up with a counselor that we have, and if they're comfortable with that, and again, it's all confidential. We don't tell any other players, and so there's that option. I know the university does a great job at the Student Success Center, providing free counseling for any players, and we make that available to our players. We put in our team group chat, this is the link, this is how to sign up. All of our coaches, our assistant coaches, I think we've got one of the best staff in Can West, and they're very personal. They love each and every one of their players, and they show them that by caring. And I think that's the most important character of a coach, is to really care about your players. And I think we have that on our staff. And I know lots of coaches have been reached out to by players in their position group asking for help that are going through tough times. So that's kind of what it's all about. And we want to make sure we're there for those players, not just because they're football players and they're going to be scoring touchdowns and making tackles, but because they're human beings, and everyone's got different stuff going on at home. So we always want to make sure that we're there for them as people. Because that's the number one thing with us.
Amen to that, brother. Well, it's pretty shitty, but you can't get much lower than this. You can only go up from here. So keep your chin up, and hopefully things turn around, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Baldy.
And growing the game rolls right along with the quarterback of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Mason Nias, who is going into his second year as the starting quarterback for the Dogs. And, well, Mason, your thoughts on the fact that you won't get a chance to quarterback this team this year?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, obviously. Everyone wants to play football, and I think we have a really good team right now. So it's definitely disappointing, but just got to make the best of it and keep working, keeping your guys together, and just training hard and seeing where it goes.
Everybody talks about Mason Nias being a great leader. How do you go about leading in a tough time like this? Because you can't exactly be around all the guys. How do you be that leader that they need?
Honestly, I think it just comes down to communication and leading by example. First off, just reaching out to your guys, making sure you're all on the same page, and set good goals, set foundation goals that you got to look forward to. And then obviously lead by example through working out hard, staying diligent with your throwing and everything on the field in that aspect.
Hey, you were looking to take, I think I talked to your dad, you were looking to take 14 classes here over the next year. So where does that leave you in terms of your degree? Will you be done? When will you be done your degree?
Well, I finished my business degree here in the fall. I only have to take a couple more classes. And then I'm still kind of deciding on that secondary degree between education and economics. I did have a goal on pursuing law school, but I kind of want to, if I'm going to go that route, I want to wait till I'm done football just so I know I want to commit myself to both of those things just so for obvious reason, I guess it's a load each way. So I'll figure out what I'm doing with education or economics, and then hopefully I'll get that secondary degree within the 2 years I have left here with the Huskies.
Yeah, see, so where I'm going with this is, do you even want, like, okay, so there's no year this year, okay? And let's just not go down the avenue yet that you're going to try to find a place to play this year. Let's go under the assumption you're not playing this year. So then you come back. We don't know eligibility. Let's assume you're getting two more years to play because you missed this year. Would you want to play those 2 years out, or are you getting up there where it's like, I want to make a decision on what I want to do with my life?
Well, you know, I know guys talk about that a lot, whether they want to get on with their life and schooling and all that. I kind of look at it as, hey, these are some of your best years of your life with your friends. You're playing football. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't get much better than that. So, you know, I kind of want to play till they kick me out sort of idea. So that's kind of the way I'm approaching it right now.
Kind of frustrating for you. You redshirted, then you were kind of, you know, you were in the mix as a quarterback, but never got a lot of playing time behind Kyle Siemens. When you did get in, you were really really impactful. And then last year, you had a great year. You're injured on a couple of occasions, the one in Regina here where you didn't get to play the full game here on home turf. But overall, your season last year, and how frustrated are you, you know, just to kind of reiterate, because, man, I think you were poised to take off like the team this year.
You know, I appreciate that, Ballsy. I thought we had a fantastic team going on this year. We had, well, obviously, losing some guys to the draft, but mm-hmm. We, eligibility-wise, we had 11 of 12 starters returning on offense, and we had a fantastic defense coming back. And obviously our coaching staff second to none. So, yeah, I was very excited about going into this season with the roster we have. And, it's definitely disappointing hearing the news today.
Do you have a goal to play pro football? We've talked about this in the past. Canadian quarterbacks are often overlooked and quickly dismissed. Does Mason Nias want to hold on to those last 2 years because those might be the last 2 years of organized football he gets to play? Or do you have a goal to really push to be a professional football player?
I mean, I definitely have a goal playing professional football. I feel like if you take it serious at the level we're playing at, it's kind of silly if you don't. So, yeah, I definitely want to push myself, and I want to give myself a shot, right? Give yourself an opportunity to go to that next level. It's a dream for every kid that plays football growing up in Saskatchewan, especially Regina. So, yeah, it's definitely a dream of mine to do it, but I definitely want to take advantage of every snap I can, because you never know when it's going to be your last.
Okay, so would you entertain playing somewhere else this year? First of all, have you talked? You got to have a discussion with the Huskies because you're loyal to them. I guess my first question, or the obvious question, is: have you talked to Scott Florey? Do you know anything about scholarships going forward? Because you got to chase the dollars here. You got to watch Team Nias. That's what you got to look out for.
I haven't talked to Coach Florey yet at all. I know we have a meeting coming up, but. I'm definitely loyal to the Huskies right now. Like, I wouldn't want to make any decisions too soon and anything like that. I just want to kind of have a meeting with Coach, have a meeting with our players, and see what's all happening with our season with the Huskies.
Yeah, but dude, you have an awesome arm. Like, you're a great quarterback. And I know I sound like your agent. I don't give a crap. I've talked about you highly for a long time. If you had an opportunity to play, like, with the Thunder or with the Hilltops or out in BC in junior football, or maybe, who knows, look south of the border, would you kick tires on that? If the Huskies gave you their blessing, would you go look at doing that?
You know, I can't say anything right now. Yeah. I'd have to talk to Coach Florey.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I know you're in a position where you can't really talk. You are loyal. You're loyal to the Huskies, but I mean, what I'm getting at is, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of a waste to waste your youth just sitting there for half, you know, if you can play junior football and it's not going to affect your eligibility and not going to affect your thing with the Huskies. I mean, I don't know why. I guess selfishly, I like to see Nias and Borsa hook up on a team, the old Riffle guys.
Yeah, obviously Borsa is one of my my best friends there. So, yeah, I know he'd love that too, and I'd love playing with him. But obviously I can't make any decisions or any rash decisions right now. Just want to talk to coach and my teammates and see what's the plan. But, yeah, it's definitely an option, but I'm focused on the Huskies right now for sure.
Oh, that's good. I mean, you should be focused on the Huskies. What a great season you guys did have. And like we said, you're poised to make a big-time run if and when you guys get back on the field. Well, you know what, man? I'll be eagerly watching to see what happens, not only to you, but the rest of the guys. I know I've heard already the Philpott boys have eyed a spot with Langley out there. So there's movement afoot already. So it's going to be interesting to see if Nias ends up somewhere, if Borse ends up somewhere, if the Philpotts end up somewhere. Could be a very interesting junior football season if they somehow can get going. It's such a weird world. I bet you never thought maybe one day you could play junior football. That would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I actually just heard about 10 minutes before you called that. I heard about the Philpotts and Langley.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's bizarre to me. It's definitely interesting news. But, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have thought that there would be discussion of those seven guys going down after 3 years of great TS football. So it's definitely interesting.
It's hilarious. We could have a TSN CJFL free agent frenzy show. Or something.
Yeah, no, it will be good football down there for sure.
That's for sure. Hey, man, thanks for this. We'll stay in touch, okay?
No, I appreciate it, Ballsy. Thanks for having me.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.